Bitches, it's time. 31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 podcasts. 31 podcasts. It's El Pozo and Tatooine.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's show. This is October 5th. I thought that was going to fade out. I thought I had fixed that problem, but I guess not. Well, you know how it is. So last year we had a problem where maybe our first or second episode, we had a pretty dark topic, which was a tape that someone was hearing during a, you know, murder and whatever, we're going to kill you and fuck you and all this stuff. So I learned my lesson, and now I waited until 5 days to get to something gross. So before we get into the real stuff, I kind of want to put you in the mind. So I want you to imagine that you're a woman living in the late 20s in America, and, you know, pretty average, whatever. And your husband has put an ad in the newspaper looking for work, basically looking for work in the country. So a few days after the ad, a man comes and visits you in the city in Manhattan, and says, you know, he wants to hire your husband and wants to meet him, all that stuff. He introduces himself as Frank Howard. He's a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. And, you know, he's promising to hire your husband and one of his friends. And he says he'll send for them in a few days. After the few days, he doesn't show up, but he does send a telegraph apologizing for not making it and setting a later date. The man returns, and he meets your daughter, who's 10. And so he convinces you somehow, which this I'm not so sure about, to let your daughter accompany him to a party that evening. Now why you're doing that, how he convinced you of that seems pretty questionable, but there you go. She goes off to the party and with this guy and doesn't come back. Disappears. The police arrest a guy, but, you know, as a suspect, basically. But turns out he had nothing to do with it. He spends about 3 months in jail, but he's found not guilty. So your daughter's gone. 6 years later, you get a letter in the mail. And, you know, you're a lady living in 1934, so you're illiterate, which is, you know, whatever. And you have your son read this letter to you. And here's the contents of the letter. My dear Mrs. Budd, in 1894, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At that time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was from $1 to $3 a pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold to the butchers to be cut up and sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go in any shop and ask for steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body, and sold as veal cutlet, brought the highest price. John stayed there so long he acquired a taste for human flesh. On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1-7, 1-11. Took them to his home and stripped them naked, tied them in a closet, then burned everything they had on. Several times every day and night he spanked them, tortured them, to make their meat good and tender. First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass, boiled, broiled, fried, stewed. The little boy was next, went the same way. At that time, I was living at 409 East 100th Street, rear, right side. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. On Sunday, June the 3rd, 1928, I called on you at 406 West 15th Street. Brought you pot cheese, strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat in my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her on the pretense of taking her to a party. You said, yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester I had already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wildflowers. I went upstairs and stripped all my clothes off. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them. When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in a closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run downstairs. I grabbed her, and she said she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked, how she did kick, bite, and scratch. I choked her to death, then cut her in small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook, and eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have had I wished. She died a virgin. That's the letter you get. And it turns out that almost all of this was 100% true. And the sender of this letter was Albert Fish, a sort of notorious killer, cannibal. He had some very, very strange habits. For example, he, you know, in his 20s, I think it was in his 20s here, he was doing some self-harm to himself. He embedded needles into his groin and into his abdomen. He was X-rayed, and it revealed that he had at least 29 needles lodged in his pelvis at that time. He also, you know, would hit himself with a nail-studded paddle, and he inserted wool doused with lighter fluid into his anus and set it on fire. So there you go. He also developed a growing obsession with cannibalism, often prepping himself a dinner consisting solely of raw meat and sometimes serving it to his children. He did have some children. Single dad for a while, by the way, which was kind of interesting. So then he went on trial, and basically some folks tried, you know, he pled insanity, which is not surprising. He claimed to hear voices from God telling him to kill children. Lots of psychiatrists testified about, you know, some of the stuff there. However, the jurors, it turned out, decided that he was definitely insane. But ultimately, one juror later explained they felt he should be executed anyway. They found him sane and guilty, and the judge ordered the death sentence. And March 1935. And then on January 16th, 1936, he went into the electric chair, 11:06 p.m., and he was dead 3 minutes later. What's extra weird is that supposedly he's said to have helped the executioner position the electrodes on his body. And then his last words were, "I don't even know why I'm here." And additionally, the last sort of thing was basically Fish's lawyer, James Dempsey, said he had his client's final statement at some point, his written statement, several pages of handwritten notes. But when journalists asked him about it, the guy said, "I will never show it to anyone. It was the most filthy string of obscenities that I have ever read." So there you go. So you can just imagine getting a nice letter in the mail. You open it up, and what is it? oh, this is how I killed your child and ate them. So there you go, fuckers. Happy Halloween.